game plan you today in interview with influencers. I had to stop there for a moment because number one, I forgot again what day it was and I forgot what podcast this was.
Yeah, you have so many things on your plate and you're balancing in this show and this, and I totally completely feel you on that.
Yeah. So we have two special guests on tonight from the Flyers. You're going to talk to us about their careers, Logan Hill and Pat Ehling, and Philly Pat's going to be on today. And if you are watching live, you can make your comments below, ask any questions. We'll try to get them up here live and have those answered. But before we get everybody and we have our guests come on, Mike, let's talk a little bit about what we got going on at Game Plan U. Today, we just announced the Sports Tech Academy, and we're going to run that this summer. And it's really focused in on – hold on one second. We got a comment come through, and I got a feeling – no, it's not. I thought it was our boy, but – So we're doing a sport. I could edit that part out. We're doing a sports tech academy this summer for anybody that's interested in sports technology, high school kids, college students, postgrads. It's going to be a week long, 5 days, 2 hours per day. We're going to have executives in the industry, but we're really going to be talking about sports technology, the future of sports technology, and then the scope and discovery of the industry, because it is a part of the sports industry that is overlooked until now. And it's something that we focus in on a Game Plan U with our sports tech startups and everything that we do. So we're going to offer a week. We're going to offer a week camp. We may go 2 to 3 as well. It's going to be pretty intense for the most part, but it's really going to be a discovery for those that want to take the time to ask questions, to look a little bit deeper into the industry. Where do they fit in? What skill sets do they need? How do they monetize? Say, like, if you're if a gamer, right? If you're in esports, how do those guys make money? How do those men and women make money that are gamers, right? We're going to dive deep into that part of it. We're going to go over this, you know, how are we going to consume, watch, you know, and engage in the sports platform, sports technology in the next 18 months, 24 months, and 5 years? How are we going to make money in the industry? What's going to happen if fans are going to be at home? So the sports tech space is a space that I think a lot of people, they want to know about, but we're going to provide them with the platform to really get to know it. So what do you think about that, Michael?
I think the best thing you said was dig deeper, right? So, you know, a lot of students nowadays in university, you learn the traditional routes. You have the teams, you have the leagues, you have the sport commissions, you have the venues, facility management, all those things. But the one piece that isn't taught in classrooms is the piece that kind of weaves in between all of these. And that's the sport technology piece of that. And that's where the industry is going. And the core behind this program, when we put it together, was when you're making a decision on your career, whether you're a student or you're pivoting in your career now, it's important that you see the whole picture. You see the entire industry, you have your ticket sales, your marketing, but then you also have your app development, you have your sponsorship, things of that nature that you can get involved in on the technology side. So that's where we want to show you that piece of the industry so you can make the most informed decision when you're looking to start your career in sport. And just, and another note too, with the guests that we have on from the Flyers, you know, there's only so many teams, right? And there's only so many internship spots that they're going to take. And there's a lot of people that want to get into sports. And that's where, you know, there's thousands and thousands of sport tech startups that are looking for interns, where you're going to develop a lot of the transferable skills you need if you do want to go work for a league. So that's the importance. We just want you to see the broad industry and make the most informed decision that you could possibly make when you start your career and where you can make the biggest impact.
Yeah, so it's really just a discovery week, discovery of the industry. You know, where do you fit into this? What's interesting, you know, when you look at Barstool Sports or you look at DraftKings or FanDuel, those are big parts. I mean, those are unicorns within the industry. You know, new media, fantasy, gaming, gambling, all of those are part of it. And what does it mean to work for those companies? What skill sets do you need to work for those companies? Someone argue Barstool, you don't need many skills, but I love the platform, especially the pizza. So anyways, let's bring in Logan and Philly Pat. Let's bring these two guys in. I can't help. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pat. Here we go. So welcome. Welcome, boys.
Thank you for having us.
Always, always a pleasure. Pleasure. So thank you for joining us again. Pat from the new house. Logan spent his last week in at his parents' home making moves. So
last few days.
Well, what a way to celebrate, you know, joining us here tonight. And again, thank you. So like we discussed, you know, the core of this podcast is for career seekers, right? And just providing advice and mentorship for them to help them get into sport. But for that, we want to share that everyone in the industry has a different story, right? And a different path to get to where they are. So I want to start there. And Pat, I want to start with you. I know when you and I connected the first time and we shared our stories, we kind of have a similar route to the industry where, you know, we both found our passion for sales and being a problem solver. But, you know, our path to the industry wasn't, you know, right to the Flyers or right to HBSC or right to the Yankees. It was starting in a different nature. So do you want to elaborate how you got into the industry and how you got to where you are today?
For sure. Absolutely. So I grew up here in Philly, born and raised. Everyone in the office jokes, they call me Philly Pat. It actually started when I was with the Sixers and there were like three or four Pats on the sales floor. I was the only one from Philly myself. So that's the origin of the Philly Pat nickname. But yeah, for sure. So I grew up here in Philly and went to LaSalle University. LaSalle doesn't have a dedicated sports management major. They have actually added on some classes for sports management, which is fantastic. And, you know, love giving back to the LaSalle community. But when I was there, there wasn't that option. I was a communication major, had a marketing minor, and right after school, I actually got a job outside of sports, totally like non-traditional. You think of sports management major, you get your internship, you get that entry-level position, and then you start your career. I actually got a job, and I was at a media company for a couple of years, traditional media, newspaper, and eventually, I actually got some words of wisdom from one of our ad sales guys at the time who said, Pat, like, I know you. We've worked together for a couple of years now. Like, I know you don't want to do this for the rest of your life. Like, what do you want to do? And my answer was like, I want to work in sports, but I don't know how to break in. And my thought was initially that I was going to be on a PR side or a marketing side or something like that. But the next day I applied for tons of different jobs and I wouldn't necessarily recommend this approach, but I applied for jobs in every department with every team you can think of. Thankfully the Sixers called me back, before any other team had the chance to. So I got to start off my career with the Sixers, with my hometown team. And legitimately it was the process era Sixers where, you know, they were losing on purpose and, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better start just because of the people that I worked for. So my start to the industry and breaking in, a little bit of a roundabout journey there. But once I got there, I fell in love with the sales process and fell in love with the ticket sales, revenue generating side of sports.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that just goes to show that even though you didn't take the traditional route, right? You found your way there. You trusted the process.
Not for sure.
Take a lot, but and you reached your goal there. So, Logan, what about yourself? You started off similar to me, UNH alum. Go Chargers! Quick plug.
Go Chargers.
But so you're at the University of New Haven. You're playing football, right? You're studying sport management. How did you get to where you are today? What was your journey?
Yeah, I knew, just like Pat, you know that you want to be in sports, but you just don't know what you want to do in sports, you know, and you don't know how to break in. Similar to Pat and Mike, you know this. So I had a job at the rec center at University of New Haven. I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe I'll get into this. And a lot of people don't understand recreation management is kind of sport management as well. So applied to a couple jobs there. And I was like, all right, is this really what I want to do though? Went to a baseball game at the Yankees with the New York Yankees with our sports management club and took a trip down there and kind of fell in love with meeting the people there with premium services. And I was like, awesome. They're talking about how you need to have a personality, how They love athletes who work in this. I'm like, wow, they're saying everything that I am. So start talking to them, and they're like, yeah, Logan, seems like you have the personality to be successful in sales. So then I went back, talked to Dr. Mumchi, and I'm like, hey, I think I really take an interest in sales. A year goes by, and I connected with Mike Robbins, talked to him a few times. But a year goes by, I graduate from the university in New Haven in winter 2019. So last January, I graduated. And then I don't have a job. I'm like, well, all right, what am I going to do? So I'm scrolling and I'm applying jobs on LinkedIn, and I see a sales associate job at HBSC, Harris Busch Sports Entertainment, 76ers, Camden, New Jersey. I'm sitting in Lumberton, New Jersey. I'm like, this is 15 minutes away. My stepfather works in sports. I was like, this is meant to be, you know? So I apply. I get a call back from Steve, my old manager there, and we just hit it off, very similar personalities. And then, like, from day one, you know, just being positive, having the want to learn. I think that's one of the biggest keys. I was always wanting to learn, wanting to connect with people as best as I can. I think Philly Pat can attest to this, from day one, you know, I reached out to him and we just kind of connected, and he kind of took on a mentorship role. So, obviously promotion and kind of took a step up in my career with the Flyers. That's how I got here now. But yeah, that's kind of how the story I just broke into sports and kind of had an interest in the revenue generating side of sports. Just using my personality, you know, and I got to be authentically me. I was like, this is kind of the career for me.
100%. I think, Logan, that you kind of hit on it there, some of our past discussions, but I remember when one of the things you told me where you'd walk around campus and just people knew who you were, right? Wherever you went, you had someone who knew you, say, oh, hey, Logan. And I just think that goes to show with your personality, and it stands out. And especially in the sales and service side, you got to be a relationship builder, you know, and you got to be able to connect with all different kinds of people, bad day, good day, or indifferent, right? Yeah. And, you know, speaking of bad days and bad times, I want to kind of get into where we are now and, you know, on the trajectory. We got hockey coming back, we got soccer coming back. So some positives there. Unfortunately, on our side, with fans won't be allowed. But Logan, some of the conversations that we've had recently, we've been discussing what the response has been from some fans. So do you want to dive in a little bit there and talk about what you've been hearing from fans in regards to, you know, their eagerness to return to the Wells Fargo Center?
Yeah, man. Being an account manager, it's cool. You know, I get to talk to 25, 30 people, different people every single day. And, you know, I have a book of about 300 plus people, you know, that's a lot of different personalities to talk to every single day, every single week, every single month. So you get a lot of different feedback. So you have some people who are super excited, you know, some people who aren't so worried about the coronavirus and COVID-19. They're like, hey, let's get back into the arena. I can't wait to get back. Sign me up, man. Whatever you got to do, keep taking my money. We're like, I'm super, super excited about this. You know, season tickets, here we go. But then you have other people, rightfully so, who are a little bit more reserved. You know, they're like, all right, I'm a little older. I'm a little at risk. I had a client who said, I'm not worried about my safety personally, but, you know, I don't want to contract something and then give it to my elderly parents, you know, and those are all legit concerns, you know, and we just have to listen, be empathetic, practice empathy in this role is one of the biggest things I have to do, skills you have to master, and just kind of listen to people and what they're saying, you know, and take it all back to my director, because, again, I'm the middleman, you know, I'm their best friend with the organization. And then I go back to the organization and say, hey, this is what we're hearing. How can we adjust, you know? So you have a lot of people all over the spectrum. You have a lot of people who don't want to come back. You have a lot of people who want to come back and say, are we going to be social distance at all? And then you have a lot of people who are saying, I don't care about social distance. Flyers were in second place when we left. I just want to watch Flyers win a Stanley Cup finally. So it's a lot of different avenues where people are.
Yeah, yeah. A social distance parade would be an interesting concept.
Silly, right?
Right, but if that's the parade, that means you got the Flyers won the championship. So, you know, we'll make the best. I'm sure you guys will make the best of it.
Exactly. Right. We'll figure it out.
But Logan, no, great point. It is all about just to be listening and being understanding, right? Especially now. I know, you know, Pat, I'm sure when you're training your new reps, you know, it's, you got to be aggressive, right? And assume the sale, push the sale. But with this case, it's a little bit different. You want to make sure you maintain these relationships, and you got to be empathetic because you don't know someone else's situation. So I'm going to throw the ball over to you now, Pat, for in regards to the game day experience. I think it's safe to say that it's going to change. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be some changes. So I want to kind of approach this from two different areas. First is from a safety standpoint. Like, what are some of the things that you could see down the pipeline that might change when we welcome fans back in the arena?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. And we haven't specifically made any, you know, concrete policy changes just yet, because we don't know where we'll be in the next 3, 6, 12 months. That said, like, if the last 3 months have taught us anything, it's that we do have to be ready for anything. So all teams right now across all 4 or 5 major sports, counting MLS, everyone's going through contingency plans, whether that's alternate seating maps or, you know, timed entry where, you know, you let people in, you know, certain batches at a time. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. So to answer the question, you know, our contingency plan is we're ready for anything, and whatever kind of, we're at the mercy of coronavirus, right? The mercy of whether there will be a second wave or whether there is a vaccine and, you know, we get rid of it. So until we know that, it's just having those different triggers ready to pull. Hopefully we can just get back to normal as soon as possible. But again, we've already been doing some different food safety stuff, even before the league's paused. So we'll see what happens, but essentially it is working on figuring out those contingency plans and figuring out when we can have fans back in the arena, exactly which trigger to pull and which contingency plan makes the most sense.
Yeah, like you said, they're uncharted water, so you gotta be ready for anything, right? And I think at the end of the day, safety is the most important thing for all of the fans in the arena. I think, you know, to get those fans that are on the fence back, we got to ensure that you're going to be 100% safe. But I think, you know, we're all in this together, right? It's an NHL. It's not just the Flyers. It's the NHL. We're all going to work together to get back in the arenas. So I'll open this next question to both you guys. Now, in regards to fan engagement, what are some of the things that the Flyers have been doing during the pandemic to engage fans? And then a follow-up to that would be, what are some things that you see down the line in stadium in regards to fan engagement?
Yeah. Pat, I'll take this for a second first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm a membership service account manager, you know, so this is essentially a focus that I have every single day, you know, and as soon as COVID-19 started and we were all working from home and games got canceled, our team were like, all right. And our directors, our leadership team were like, all right, how are we going to keep our fans engaged? That's the most important thing, you know. They spend really good money having season tickets, you know, and it is still our job to service them. It's still our job to keep them engaged. So we've done a couple different things, getting Gritty involved and kind of having Zoom conferences with our fans. It's been really cool. Has some special guests. I know we did a 2010 Stanley Cup reunion kind of Zoom call, which is really, really cool. Our fans are diehard, and hockey fans are diehard. They know their stuff, man. So they were really excited to kind of not talk to the players, but be able to be on the same Zoom call with the players. And I know with me, I'm still contacting my book every 30 days, every 45 days. I'm giving a call, just checking in, seeing how you're doing. And reason I love my job so much is I'm creating legit relationships with these people too, you know. And I'm just not saying, hey, I'm just calling to check in, you know. I was like, hey man, how are the kids doing during this? How's Jessica and John doing? You know, because like I know their kids' names, and we're talking, and they're knowing my situation. They know that we have 4 offices in my house right now, and everyone's working. Like, how's that crazy situation going? You know, and it's legit relationships that I feel like I'm having with friends. You know, friends and family, and some of them I've gotten really, really close with. So that's basically kind of on our end how we're engaging the fans. We have a lot of stuff down the pipeline I don't want to announce yet, but it's super exciting. And I honestly do love what we're doing because, again, we're engaging our fans and we're keeping Flyers hockey in their in the minds, in the forefront.
Yeah, you got to stay top of mind, especially when you're in second place and we're coming back and we're getting ready for the Stanley Cup run, right? So
for sure.
Keep all the fans engaged. I love that. So next, I want to go into something that it's important to me. I know, Logan, when we prepped for this, it's very important to you as well, and that's mentorship. So, you know, both of you gentlemen have played a key role in my development as a professional. He's not in the screen right now, but Rob, one of my main mentors, and wouldn't be here without his guidance. So Pat, I want to start with you. And what do you see as the importance of having a mentor, especially in the sport industry?
Yeah, for sure. So the importance of having a mentor in sports, you know, it's way above and beyond anything you could even put into words. Logan specifically mentioned Steve McMahon, who was his manager when he was with the Sixers and Devils. For those of you that don't know, Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment owns the Sixers and Devils, and there's a lot of cross-pollination in terms of the sales staff where you'll sell for both properties. But Steve was a sales associate when I started as a sales associate. And I consider him one of my mentors in the sports industry. A guy that, like, you know, even though he wasn't benefiting directly from the relationship, he would always pull me aside and give me some words of advice. I knew I could always go for him with any sort of situation, whether it's, you know, career advice, or it's a specific sales situation, or if it's, you know, I get tapped on the shoulder and it's, "Hey, Philly Pat, do you want to move up to Jersey and work for the Devils?" Like, someone I can confide in. And, you know, I had a great 3 years up at the Devils. So the importance of having a mentor is being able to have someone that you can go to, confide in, and trust in, that you know is doing it, you know, for the right reasons. You know, it's something where it's not specifically just to benefit them, but it's something where it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but myself and Logan had a bunch of conversations early in his career. And for me, it wasn't that, you know, I was trying to, you know, leverage my relationship with Logan for anything, but I would legitimately learn from him too. And as a Devil's service guy, I was learning what he was hearing on the new business side. And that could help me paint my relationships with new members. So it is mutually beneficial, but it's more of a trust thing, more of a career growth. And for those that are mentoring others, it's paying it forward. And, you know, I always say that the sports industry is a super small industry. In January, my first day with the Flyers, I walked in and probably saw 15 familiar faces that I've worked with either at the Sixers, at the Devils, or both. So those relationships, you never know who you're going to work with again, who you're going to work for, who's going to work for you. So it's always great to have those people that you can, you know, trust in, those people that you can, you know, walk in day one at a new job and say, "Hey, what's going on, man? How have you been?" So yeah, super important to have those mentor and mentee relationships.
100%. Logan, before I get your thoughts on it, I just want to reiterate what something Pat said, and, you know, to all the career seekers out there listening, do not burn a bridge in sport, because everyone knows everybody.
Yep.
I think that's a great point. One bridge could cost you moving forward. So just make sure you're always being humble, transparent, and just being a professional, and, you know, at all times. So my little quick rant.
Real quick point on that before we got to Logan's answer. And I'll say that, like, one thing that coronavirus has done that's a little bit of a silver lining is bring everyone together. So I know that specifically we've had a bunch of Zoom calls with other sales staffs, whether it's, you know, the Devils, whether it's the Capitals. We might be rivals on the ice, but at the end of the day, like, our businesses aren't competing with each other. So it makes sense to share best practices. And another benefit of that is that we've all gotten a network with people that, you know, we might have been too busy to hop on long Zoom calls with otherwise, which is just an awesome thing to be able to put together.
Yeah, I think, sorry to keep pushing off, Logan. I think just
no, you're good, man.
the guest we had on Monday's show, he said the same thing, that coronavirus has showed us that, you know, you can't, you know, 3 months ago you were going to be invited on a podcast. You might say, you know, I just had 6 hours, you know, I got out of the office working, you know, 9 to 9, right? I don't have time to get on a podcast. But now I think it really showed us the value of networking and growing your skills and of that nature. So Logan, sorry to keep putting you off.
No, you're good.
So going back to the mentorship piece.
Yeah, man.
Elaborate on that and your opinion on that.
Yeah. I'm super lucky. I've had quite a few great mentors, in my early career, and Pat Ehling obviously being one of them, you know. Kind of reiterating what Pat said, this is like a mentor is someone who's been in your shoes before or is in your shoes currently, and they just want to help, you know. It's not benefiting them in any way, and it could be, but the overlying and the main priority for them as a mentor is just they want to help help you out, you know. And every call me and you, Mike, have had. We've honestly, it's just like you can attest to it. It's like it's not benefiting me at all, our relationship, you know. I honestly just want to help you out, and we've grown a friendship over, and I could call you a brother now, and it's like I want to hang out with you. But it's like to a point, it's like I've been in your shoes before, you know. I've been searching for a job. I graduated University of New Haven, you know. It's like we have mutually exclusive things that we have in common that I could help you with, you know. And I don't know why you want to listen to my advice, but I appreciate it. But it's like you're doing really, really good things. But also, it's like, man, I can't tell you how many times that I've got done work and it's like I don't want to talk to Steve, my manager, even though he's great, the same guy Pat was talking about, because he's my manager, you know. It's like, you know, I'm not bad mouthing him in any way, but it's like you want someone as like a big brother, you know. Man, I'll get in the car. Pat worked in Newark. I'm like, yo, Pat, I need to hop on a call right now. And Pat can attest to this. I can't tell how many times I did this, but it's like, yo, Pat, I got to run this off of you. I'm bouncing this off of you. I just want to vent. I'm frustrated. And like, that's what a mentor is there for, a big brother, you know, a big brother, big sister. And he's on the other line. He's like, yeah, man, I totally get it. I'm feeling the same way. But he's giving me advice that's good for me personally. You know, it's not just good for my career. It's helping me grow, you know. And I think that's another great thing a mentor does. And he said another great value in having a mentor, you just know people are in your corner. You know, at any given day, any given time, I know that I'm able to text Pat, call Pat, and be like, yo, I need to talk. Hey, I need to run something past you. Can you help out with this? Knowing that he's going to say yes and knowing that he has my best interest in his mind as well. You know, it's again, it has nothing to do with him growing or benefiting from, you know. He just wants me to be the best person I can be, the best employee, the best salesperson, the best service rep I can be, you know. So that's kind of like why I love having a mentor. I have a couple, Dan Andre, M. Jaws, still talk to those guys, and they're awesome. But now Pat, that he's was there at HBSC, and now he's at the Flyers. And that's – I can't ask for a better mentor right there.
Love it. I love it. I think that that's one of the key things is a mentorship a lot of times is more than just professional.
Right.
It's that personal relationship. You know, we can get a beer and just not talk about business.
Right.
But I also think it's important for career seekers to understand that a mentor is not going to give you the answers. They're here to help and they're here to guide you. And I think Logan and I, you know, I thank you all the time for this, but you don't want all the times I've called you stuck in traffic and, you know, just complaining about my day, or I need advice about, you know, my career. You never gave me an answer. You asked me questions and trusted that I was going to figure it out. You helped steer me in the right direction, but you didn't give me the answer, because, you know, when you do get that first job and you're in that career, you're not going to have someone give you the answer when you're on a phone with a client, right? It's, you got to have that figure it out gene. So I think that's the most important part. And you both hit on that, is the mentee drives the relationship, right? They drive it. The mentor is just there to provide the support. So great input on all of that. So I think I want to now pivot into our last point and kind of take everything full circle back to the career seekers. So yeah. I'll start with Logan this time. So Logan, if you have to give, you know, two or three pieces of advice to career seekers looking to enter the sporting industry right now, what would you provide for them?
Yeah, I got 3 points here for you. And I think these are these 3 points helped me get to where I am today. And I think all these points, Pat can say, Logan did this, you know. I keep bringing Pat up, but because he's been there. He's watched me grow, you know. But I think all 3 points, I could say Logan did this. And the first one is be curious, you know. Be curious who you're working with. Be curious of who you're around. Be curious and learn it, you know. Attack every day like you want to learn, you know. Learn something from a new person, you know. Sit down with another person. See someone else's career path, you know. I think I was fortunate enough to be curious and have the want just to talk to everybody I can, you know, sit down with everybody I can. Hey, Pat, you got a time to sit down. Hey, let's chat. Or, hey, Marquise, I want to pick your brain. Or, hey, Aaron Woods, yo, man, let's just talk it up, you know, chop it up. And it's not always about work. It's just about life, you know. Again, these are people who've been in my shoes before, and they're successful, you know. So why not be curious and why not want to learn from the best, for people who are successful in your business? Also, be authentically you, you know. I think Marquise Watson told me this. Man, don't switch up who you are for nobody, you know. What's going to work for you is not going to work for somebody else. But at the end of the day, who you are and what you are is what got you in the position you are today, you know. So keep being the person you are in your interviews, you know. You might have to fine-tune a couple things, but don't get away from the core of who you are, because at the end of the day, who you are is who you're always going to be. So that's one of the best advices I've ever learned. And the third advice, control what you can control. You know, every day, every single day, you can control 3 things. Your attitude, which I think I have a pretty good attitude every single day. I attack, it's happy. Effort, attack each day with relentless effort, just being the best person and being the best employee you can be. And then you get to control the way you present yourself, you know. For me, that's tucking my shirt in every single day, you know. That's making sure my clothes are ironed, my shoes are shined. Those are little examples, little small details, but it goes a long way. And I've had people in my career from higher up positions say, hey, man, I see that you're the best dressed employee that we have, you know. Like that little compliment means a lot. It's a small detail that you don't think other people are paying attention to, but it goes a long way, you know. Wearing a tie clip, I don't know, man, whatever works for you, but just be clean and be pristine. I don't know, control that. So that's my advice.
That's one of my favorite pieces, is control what you can control, because, you know, none of us can control what happened with coronavirus, right?
Right.
What if you can control what you do in the day to get better and to grow for when we come out of this. And yeah, just for the record, I think you're right. I've never seen you not smiling. So that's your thing. Definitely check off that box.
Appreciate it.
So Pat, I'll pivot up to you now. But I just want to switch up the question a little bit, if that's okay.
For somebody
who is in the position of hiring, right? The career seekers that are looking to get in the industry now, you have the power to bring them aboard. What are some of the things that you specifically look for in candidates that you would bring into the organization?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, one thing is attention to detail. Anything that's written down, whether it's your resume, whether it's your cover letter, whether it's a thank you note, which I strongly, strongly encourage handwritten thank you notes after interviews. But if it, whatever is written down, always make sure there's the attention to detail on there. If I get a cover letter and it's one big rambling long block of text with no paragraph breaks and doesn't really get to the point, or it's full of typos, full of punctuation errors, things like that, then it shows me that you didn't take the time to at least get it revised, at least get it looked at. So anything that's written down, especially the attention to detail there. Another thing I look for is someone who is willing to go the extra mile. So in terms of when I'm hiring, I like to hire people that are willing to go the extra mile and network with me. We already talked about the importance of networking. So the person that just applies on Teamwork Online, sure, I might like scroll through, might look at their profile, but like at the end of the day, the person that finds me as the hiring manager, messages me on LinkedIn, and has something that sticks out, they're more likely to get an interview, just because, you know, they came to me directly as opposed to just putting the resume out there into the ether, into Teamwork. One of the guys that I got hired with initially at the Sixers, a guy, Paul, he actually, he went to a Sixers Beach Bash event in Seattle, and he had already interviewed, and he actually met Scott O'Neill, who's the CEO, at this event. And this, how the story goes is that Paul, he sent in after his interview directly to Scott, who's the CEO. Typically, a CEO is not going to be involved in hiring an entry-level sales associate, but he sent a thank you note with a framed picture of when he met him at the Beach Bash event. And Scott went down to the hiring managers, went down to, you know, who would be my account, like me at the Sixers at that time, and said, we got to hire this kid. And that's like that extra mile that got him his job. And that, obviously that's an extreme example, but something that goes the extra mile and shows, hey, I really want this job, will go a lot further than just putting that resume on Teamwork. Finally, the last thing, and Mike, I know from one of our previous conversations, I've mentioned this before, but as salespeople, at the end of the day, like, we're an arm of our marketing department. We are the people that, yeah, our job is to put people into seats, but at the end of the day, like, we're storytellers. How we get people into those seats and how we get people to see the value in a season ticket package or a partial plan or anything like that is by being, you know, super excited about it, being able to relay to the customer like why they should get this and what the benefit to them is going to be. And if I'm shown in an interview that someone can really get excited and get jazzed up about something and really, like, you know, go above and beyond to throw that description through the wall, like, yeah, that's going to show me a lot more than someone who's got a great resume but can't hold a conversation or can't, you know, can't hold my attention through even an interview. So be excited, be descriptive, be over the top. Like, at the end of the day, that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, I think the be excited piece, you have to be. I mean, we work long days, you know, in the ticket sales and service industry, especially in season. Like, you know, we're working 9 to 9, right? And it's exhausting, and you get up and you do it again the next day. But you got to love what you're doing. You got to have passion for that. And I think the other thing you both hit on was that attention to detail. It's critical, especially in the sales process when you're having a conversation with someone, and there might be a little thing they say that can trigger you to say, okay, this is how I can solve your problem with you know, a season package or a partial season. So, no, I mean, great advice. Yeah, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I want to thank you guys both for taking the time. It was great to reconnect with you. I do expect one thing, though. When the Flyers win the cup, Rob and I need our invites to that social distancing parade.
Got it. It won't be social distance, but you got it.
I'm already rolling the quarantine beard right into the playoff beard, so we're good here.
Love it. Love it.
Well, I'm still waiting for my framed in picture, Mike, of you and I the first time we met. So I'll be expecting that gift. So that was a good one.
For all the UNH people out there, is the radio station 10 minutes before Rob's podcast was where we were connected.
Love that.
I want a bus wrap. Schaffenberg. Well, on behalf of Mike and I, we want to thank you guys for spending some time with us, sharing your stories and sharing your knowledge and advice to our audience. So so we appreciate your time, boys.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Fantastic. So Logan and Philly Pat, they were dropping knowledge on us, and what a great bunch of guys. And the Flyers are certainly lucky to have those two down there banging the phones and building relationships. You know, good to have them on. So thanks for putting that together, Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, thank you, Pat and Logan, for coming on. I hope the audience got a lot out of that, especially, you know, that last part taken away from that. You had a hiring manager right there who hires entry-level employees, and, you know, you got firsthand what they're looking for. So hopefully that helped a lot of career seekers out there.
Yeah, it was great advice. I mean, certainly about mentors too. You know, my thing is, you know, put together your board of advisors, just like you're starting a business, but those are your mentors. You know, you need someone who's going to be kind of that big time mentor, like a Scott O'Neill or like a Pat. You know, you need that one that's going to give you advice when you need it, that's been in your shoes or as a peer. You need that one that's like a coach that you're, you know, that pushes you, you know, that mentor that's a little bit tough and a little bit uncomfortable, you know, that's way out of your league, but man, they're going to tell you the truth. You know, and then you need that mentor that's really, really well connected, you know, that has a massive, like a Brandon Steiner, right? Someone that has a massive network that could open up a tremendous amount of doors to you. So, you know, put together that mentor board of advisors in your life, in your career is always one of my key tools, you know, and sharing. So, Michael, thank you so much. It's another great day. Another great day to be a Charger. Obviously, another great day to be on Gameplay on You today, spending time with you. If you're going to subscribe to our channel, please do. All the other shows are on there. This one obviously is live, but that's at Sports Biz Radio on YouTube and iTunes and Spotify and every other, you know, podcast channel that's out there as well. But we'll be back next Monday morning, 10 a.m. East Coast Standard Time. Any last thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, just quick. I want to follow up from the last show. I got a bunch of direct messages on LinkedIn from people, you know, sharing that they've reached out to three new people the last few days. Just keep it up. Keep up the good work. And the last advice I want to give is prepare for tomorrow today, right? So that'll be my word of advice is prepare what you want to do tomorrow tonight before you go to bed. And then that way you're ready to get up tomorrow, rocking and rolling and attacking the day.
Absolutely. Sunday nights are the one day. Sunday night's a work night, buddy. Right? Sunday night's a work night. Get going on Sundays.
That was one of the first pieces of advice you ever gave me. You know,
always. Everybody,
what they're doing Sunday night.
I can tell you Scott O'Neill sitting there at Sunday night at 7 o'clock looking, right? Getting ready. He's looking. If you ever want to get a responding email from any executive, any high-level executive, Sunday nights. I'm telling you. So that's my word of advice. Mike at gameplanu.org. Reach out to Mike. Reach out to Mike for any questions that you have. Tell him what your three, what's those three tips are, right? Who'd you reach out to? Those three people. Right?
Yep.
And I'm Rob at gameplanu.org. Thanks, everybody, for watching. On behalf of Mike and myself, Rob, we'll see you next time. Take care.
Take care, everybody.
Attention, please. The Santa Fe and Disneyland passenger train, E.P. Ripley, now loading on track number one. Board.
The Sports Biz Radio, broadcasted live from WNHU on the campus of the University of New Haven.